Hi there, folks. It's PG with a preview of our bonus after show, available exclusively for our Patreon backers. Eric joins us to continue the conversation, and we talk about a ton of stuff, including different locks in escape rooms and some of our favorite board games. Eric makes an enthusiastic case for Tunic, one of his favorite video games. We also share some of our favorite advent calendars, and David tells a very charming and funny Christmas story. Here, Eric is telling us about his method for interviewing job applicants in the tech industry, and he compares it to playing D&D.
Okay, so Dungeons & Dragons, there is somebody conducting some environment, some scenario, some virtual circumstance that you find yourself in, and they say, what do you do? And you give them an intent, and then they tell you whether it succeeds or fails, and you go back and forth for a bit. Right? Dungeons & Dragons, great. Interviewing. Scenario-based questions is what I like to use, which is basically, I'm the DM, except instead of saying you find a dragon, I say, the CTO comes to you and demands the following thing. How would you proceed in this environment? Depending on what you say, I will give you more information about what occurs, and I'm kind of making up the story as I go, but I don't tell them that. I just say, there is a circumstance. I want to see how you react and what you choose to do. And I'll give them a lot of circumstances around, there is a software system that isn't performing well. It has the following characteristics. It has this many users. It's running on these servers that have these resources, right? It's behaving in this way. How would you go about debugging it? And depending on what they say, I give them a response of a circumstance that it does or does not do. Or I'll say, okay, what if instead it had this much larger, more preposterous quantity of users? And
say 50,000 when you were expecting 50.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And based on how they choose to tackle this virtual scenario, it is pretty easy to tell quickly if they've seen it before or not, if they take an approach that's reasonable, if they come up with a situation that sounds like it makes sense, if they offer up wanting to try certain things that in that real-world scenario would produce a useful answer, right? As opposed to people who just say like, oh, I don't know, I would Google it, I guess, I don't really, right? It's pretty easy to tell quickly, like if somebody has no idea how they would approach a situation. So I have a bunch of those that I like to run. I also ask everybody to write me some code, but it's always a simple problem. It's not an advent of code problem. It's not even as hard as a day one advent of code problem. Although I like to, if they seem like they have a really easy time with it, I'll ask them to do something maybe slightly more difficult or tweak it a little bit just to watch how they approach it. But mostly I just want to see that they are actually a programmer and not just like good at storytelling or something, right? But I'll ask them that. I'll ask them to draw me a diagram. Pick a system of some interest that you've worked on recently and just show me all the pieces and how they fit together, right? Just can you communicate a system to me? And I will ask them to teach me something. Doesn't even have to be a programming thing. Literally just, if you want to teach me like how you designed an escape room or something, or like how you built a prop for a play or any, right? Teach me any concept, spend at most 5 minutes, go. Because that's an important skill for an engineer to have, right? And if they can do all of those things, usually by that point, I have gotten enough information that I can assess quickly whether or not they are going to be an effective engineer in their organization, or if not, or if I need to recommend them for another role or something like that.
But we have very similar approaches. I have a different but same version for hiring UX and product design people.
This is in direct opposition to the people that are like, I know, I'll give them a really hard programming puzzle. And if they figure that out, they'll be an effective member of the engineering organization. Like,
and I'm only going to give them a whiteboard.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a whiteboard in 15 minutes. And if they don't figure it out, they're not a good engineer. I don't know a single engineer that would succeed in that environment. Also, the real job has nothing to do with those things. Why are you testing them on that, right?
That to me also strikes me as like the, I don't even know if they actually do this, but like the recite the alphabet backwards as a sobriety test. I'm like, I'm sober. I cannot do that. Z, Y, X, I don't know from there.
That's why I try to find scenarios that are just like, here are some circumstances that our engineers have for realsies had to deal with, you know, with some of the details change for privacy and stuff in the past couple months, right? Like, how would you have dealt with it in the same situation? Talk me through it. Tells you a lot about how they work as an engineer.
Yeah, I would do a lot of role-playing type stuff. First of all, I give them a thing that they have to design, and then I tell them, use your tools, use your computer, you have a half hour. I give them an impossible task, but I would just say, look, this is more than you can do, but just prioritize it. I just want to see, are you able to prioritize correctly? Are you able to articulate the important things? And then I would just say, sell me on the idea, and I'm going to be a jerk. And I would just kind of emulate a combination of two really bad clients that I have had over the years, because that's normal. unfortunately, when you're doing that job, is you have to go and be able to explain your ideas to somebody who is super oppositional. And how do you keep your cool? How do you get through that? And those are the things that I'm looking for, is people who aren't going to crack under pressure, who can prioritize, who can use the tools that they have, and can articulate themselves.
One of the things that I forgot to mention is it's important in these sorts of interviews as the interviewer that you don't hold in your head a single correct answer that you're waiting for them to say. Mm-hmm. It's not about looking for them to say the same solution that you would have come up with, right? If it's a database performance thing and they say indexes and you were looking for sharding, that means that you're like, if you needed that answer, your question wasn't good enough. You have to consider their answer and whether or not it would have potentially worked in the information you gave them, as opposed to a lot of interviews that are just like, regurgitate this trivia to me. I have an answer on this sheet of paper.
Exactly. We're not playing guess the number in my head.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It drives me nuts.
It's not a good assessment for whether somebody would be a good member of the organization. Simply, that's not how it works. But it's easy, though. It's an easy way to interview. It is not a good way.
Listen to the rest of the episode now by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/roomescapeartist to access our library of over 50 bonus aftershows.